1 Corinthians chapter 12, because that's where we're going to remain for a while. And we're dealing with spiritual gifts. I came in yesterday because last week I put this sign up here and I put it right up to the ceiling. And I realized that people sitting back around where Serge and Judy are couldn't see it because of the speaker up there. So I came and lowered a little bit. You can see it okay now concerning spiritual gifts. Good. Good. I want to make sure everybody sees it. There's Elvis. Good job this morning, Elvis. And good song. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, before we read there, I look at our world right now and I find the news is full of stupidity. I don't know about you, but I hear, you know, especially things that kids are getting into. You know, we've heard of the suicide packs that kids have got into and things that are killing our young kids. For one reason or another, the enemy has duped them. And recently heard on the news another thing of great stupidity. It's a game that young people are playing that for 48 hours, you stay away from home. I don't know if anybody else has heard this, but they turn off their cell phones. They stay away from home. They don't even stay with any friends. They just go somewhere, whatever they're doing in that 48 hours. And what the reasoning is of this, I cannot comprehend. But to stay away from family and friends and turn off the cell phone so nobody can track you or trace you or where you are. And just for 48 hours, you know, as I thought about that, you know, if I was a parent and my child did that, for 48 hours, I didn't know where they were. I mean, the stress that, first of all, would be with us, and the worry as a parent, and where are they, what's been happening with all the stuff that happens in our world right now, like, you know, to think of my child is not here, 48 hours. I mean, they say after 24 hours, you can call into the authorities a missing person case and get them going on. I mean, in 48 hours, can you imagine the fear and the hurt and the harm that goes into parents' hearts and the authorities that are out there, Amber Alerts or whatever could be going on, and people looking and looking, and you just say, joke time, I did it all for play. I know back in my day what my dad would have done to me if I did something like that. Would to God we would get back to spare the rod and spoil the child. I know that's something that's in the place where we are today. But as I look at all this stuff going on and the news and the stupidity and everything else, you know, and as I read, I like a guy by the name of J. Warner Wallace. He's the author of a book, I don't know if you've read it, Cold Case Christianity. He was a detective, I believe he's retired now, in the California area. But he was given cold cases. He was one of the detectives that, you know, things had gone along, cases weren't solved, and so they were given to him. Sometimes 5, 10, 20 years they'd gone on, even longer for some of these cases, and they weren't solved. And he would pray over his cases, and a lot of times he was, with the help of Holy Spirit, able to solve some of the cases that he was faced with. He wrote the book and delving with, you know, as we look back 2,000 years ago about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you know, I'm so proficient at looking into evidences of what brought about that murder or that situation, that he said, I look back in the evidences and looked how Jesus lived back then. And he went through all the evidences. And it's a good book if you want to get it sometime, Cold Case Christianity, that surrounded the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence that he compiled is astounding. And so I would advise you to get that copy sometime. But as I think of we're always looking at evidence. I think it's pretty evident right now that we're living in the last days. You know, I don't know what you need to see, what else you need to feel or comprehend in the world that we're living in right now. But if you read the Word and you investigate all the sayings of Jesus, his teachings on the end times, and we study the epistles and how the Holy Spirit spoke through men and women to show evidences, things that would come to pass in all these last days. And I believe that the evidence is there enough to tell us who are close to God that there's evidences being revealed to us that we are in the last days. I really believe that. We're seeing all around us evidences of the family broken down, marriages are broken down, homes broken down, the situations with transgender and all the things that are happening around us. And what else could happen on the horizon? I mean, 20 years ago, you would have said, what else could happen? But we're seeing what else is, and we're seeing all the things around us. I mean, there's signs all over the place. The evidence is before us as Christians. And we cannot miss it. We are living in the last days. I mean, we're not thinking about the last days. We're in that evidence of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the imminency of Jesus Christ coming back at any time. We cannot miss these evidences. Too many things are happening outside the church and inside the church, which show us that we are seeing a dilution of the Word of God. We're seeing a sugarcoating of the Word of God. Things happening around us that are showing us this is the evidence that Jesus is coming very soon. You know, Pierre and I and Betty were at a gathering of pastors on Thursday. There weren't too many pastors there, and I was kind of sorry for that, because whenever you speak, I just feel that this man of God has something to share and blesses us. But Betty and I came in a little late into the meeting, but you were there. And when we walked in, I heard about how we're no longer going to use the word rapture. You know, what? You know, I kind of shook my head, and I thought, let me go back outside and come back in. I thought I was in the wrong place, you know, and started hearing about this. And we're trying to, I want to go to that meeting they're talking about. I think it's June 5th or something like that. They said the date of when we as a section and our district is getting together to talk about some of these things, that perhaps we should no longer use the word rapture, but put it all under the umbrella of the second coming of the Lord. And I thought, well, just because the word rapture is not in our Bibles doesn't mean we have to get rid of it from our pulpits. You know, the word Trinity isn't in our Bible either. We don't get rid of the Trinity. We love Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I was thinking through the whole thing, and it's been bothering me ever since I heard that on Thursday, that we are in the last days. We are just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter what organization or affiliation or denomination you're in, things are changing. Things are happening all around us. It's happening all around us. And if we individually and as a church begin to dilute and water down and replace many of the words that we have become so familiar with in our doctrinal stands, that we are looking at some terrible days ahead. And I begin to wonder in my spirit, what else will be given pressure in our days of what we could avoid or admit from our pulpits or take away from our Bibles or preaching from the pulpits in our land. And I just really enjoyed Pierre reminded us about the church in Babylon from Erwin Lutzer that we discussed last fall and had the DVD and the video points. So as I think of all this, at this point in time in church history, what is going on? Where are we headed? Why are these things happening in the church and to the church? If we neglect the Holy Spirit, and His teaching to us and avoid the Word and allow ourselves to think that the gifts are not for today, then we have been duped and been lied to. And I really believe that healing, when people say, you know, I don't believe that healings are for today. Wow, I do. I need a healing body, soul, and spirit. And I need that grace and that mercy of God to bring healing to us. And that when God turned on His Word to this world, I just thank God that He never took His hand off that tap. And He never brought it down to a dribble. Or drops happening every now and then. He turned it on full blast, and He hasn't really stopped going that. So if we ever think that God has turned the tap off or He's turned it down to a dribble, then I say, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble because you're at a loss for the Word of God. You know, when you say you're a loss for Word, it's you're a loss for the Word of God, because the Word of God is our source and our help. You know, every time I look at revivals tell us that when the church got back to what the book says, that when they got back to what the Word says, then things began to open up. Things were already all open up. I mean, heaven was already open. This needs to be opened up. This needs to be adjusted and get ready for what God has in store for us. You know, as I said, I like Azusa Street. I like the Hebden Street Mission that happened in Toronto. I like the Welsh Revival and like Kansas City Revival. And the revival really to me means that people just got back to the book. The way it says it, the way it reads, the way it shows us, the way it convicts us, the way it speaks to us, the way that we just digest it and take it into our hearts and every day of our lives, it just the things it does for us and with us in our life. Amen? You know, we used to sing a song, and we learned this back in the Mohawk church, that bring back those happy days when the Holy Ghost moved in every place and the love of God was seen on every face. So bring back those happy, happy days. Amen? We need those happy days. You know, and unless we are blind spiritually, it is evident that we are living in the day of the imminency of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in fact, His return could happen at any moment now. Any moment now. Hallelujah. So with that in mind, please do not dilute your stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what somebody says to you. I don't care what authority they have or where they are. If somebody goes against this word, remember what Peter and James and the rest of them said, sorry. Jesus changed me, and you tell me I can't speak on the street corners. You tell me I can't share my testimony. You tell me I can't do these things. I'm sorry. This is what my life consists of. This is why I breathe. It's your breath in my lungs, and so I pour out my praise. Amen? I pour out my praise, and so praise God. If you're kind of in the lost right now and the whatever's going on, get back in the fire. Get back. You know, as the Word of God tells us, and I said a couple of weeks ago, then wake up. Wake up. And that's not a mean, derogatory saying. It just means that we need to wake up in our spirit. Amen? We need to wake up. We need to come awake. We need to sober up and get back to the place where God wants us to be. And the Word of God even tells us, revive yourself in Him. Hallelujah. So are you 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Amen. I want to read the first 7 verses to you. I just love going over some of these verses that we've talked about over weeks. And some of you perhaps haven't heard some of the messages. And I believe that they are on the web page. John, do you know if they're on the web page as the messages be going? They are? You've been doing them? Good. Thank you very much. Because people like George and Gail and others that perhaps were away that couldn't get the message, I pray that you get on there and hear some of these things that we've been saying. I believe they're very important because these are all building blocks as we get closer and closer. Next week, we'll be talking about the gift of wisdom, and we're going to start opening up these gifts over here, and you're going to see some of the things that God wants to do in our hearts and our life. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same pneuma. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, the Kyrios in the Greek. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God, Theos, and who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, now get this, the manifestation of the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Given to each one for the profit of all. Let me just give you a little bit clearer, because that last line is where we're going to hang our hat today. Is that okay? So the New King James Version says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The New Living Translation says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. The Amplified says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. Holman Christian Standard Bible says a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. NIV says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. New American Standard Bible says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. New Jerusalem Bible says the particular manifestation of the Spirit granted to each one is to be used for the general good. Are you getting the understanding now? Because sometimes when we read one translation, prophet of all, you may not have got that. So I trust, have you ever heard the term getting the drift? Yeah. Are you getting the drift? Yeah. That what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us, I think that as you go through various translations, all of a sudden you, I'm getting the drift now. Yeah, kind of flowing with the Holy Spirit. And as you read these verses and you understand this one verse, verse 7, this is something that will edify us. It will be for our general good. It will be something that's going to help us. The manifestation of the Spirit is going to be something positive for us in the house of God, something for our individual lives, and something for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will take the church to a better place than perhaps what we have been in the past, that the church will become more and more productive as we engage in the manifestation of Holy Spirit, as we allow manifestation of Holy Spirit in our lives. Because as the Spirit grants to each of us, something that will bless the person beside you is what is intended here. So look at that person beside you, wave at them, said, God's going to give me something to bless you. Then go ahead and look down the row. Said, God's going to give us something individually that down our row we're going to be so blessed on Sunday mornings. Then you look around the church and God is going to give you something that is going to be a blessing not only to that person beside you or your row, but to the whole entire body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is going to come in such a powerful way that when you hear or see or feel or get engaged in what the Holy Spirit is doing in that moment, you will get blessed. You will grow. You will get stronger. I said last week, I like gifts. I like when God gives us gifts. How about you? Our whole life, you know, if you look at your life or how long you've been saved, there's been gifts going all along, and we all like gifts. And thank you all for blessing Betty last week. That was really good. You know, happy wife, happy life. You know, yeah. So you know, do it every week. You know, amen, hallelujah. But I thank you that it just shows that the church is a good place to be. Amen. So gifts are something that the Bible is filled with in opportunities for us to have. God doesn't dangle a carrot in front of us and say, you know, He gives us gifts. He blesses us. And I like the gift of salvation and also what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, giftings of the Holy Spirit. And gifts are really great because many times in scriptures that God has great things to bestow upon us as we faithfully walk with Him. As He told Moses, if you do these things, I will. Right? If you obey my commandments, I will. God's a willing God, isn't He? He's a willing God. He wants to bless us with things. And the more that we look through the Word of God, we find that this God, He loves us a lot, doesn't He? You ever notice that? He must love us an awful lot. He spends a lot of time with us. He does a lot of things individually in our lives. He must love us a huge amount. Praise God. Because of all the things that He does in our life. Many things that He's given us. And the sad part of it all is when you think about Moses, you know, he said, if you do the commandments, I'll give you this. And yet they didn't do it. And sadly, some things that you and I in our day, we know what the Word says, but we ignore them. We ignore it. The things we choose not to think are possible for us. Well, I don't think God could do it. I mean, He's done it for them, but I don't know if He could do it for me. You know, it's kind of a big thing. And I believe, as we've shared over the last couple of weeks, I believe that we're deceived in a lot of things that we're hearing out there and from the confusion of different teaching that says the gifts have died out. It was only for the apostles. It's not for today. And when we grab onto that kind of stuff, then we're excluding what God can do in our lives. We're tapping off what the gifts could be in our lives. I choose to believe. I just, God, there it is. Must be true. But somebody says it's not. It's there. I'm sorry. This is where I hang my hat. This is where I go from all my source, and this is where I have everything. And I just like it, you know, as I go through, because I see that God loves me so very much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, I believe in him. I believe in him. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And guess what? I've come to give you life more abundantly. So this is my life. I kind of like abundant. Amen. Amen. How about you? So not only are there gifts available to us, but the Bible also mentions this other word that is kind of interesting, blessings. Are you blessed today? Yes. I am. Oh, yeah. You know, Peter, right in the book of Acts, you know, and I kind of hate going to the book of Acts because I know Pierre's going to be there, but I just pull verses out of it every now and then. But you'll explain them a lot better when we get to them. But Acts chapter 3, verse 26, you know, Peter had this baptism of the Holy Spirit and continually getting filled and walking in the Holy Spirit. And he faced the mountains and he faced the people that were against him and the people that were, you know, just against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 3, verse 26 is a real prize. It's a real great verse because here Peter says, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him for what purpose? To bless you. He sent him to bless you. In what way? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. That's a pretty good blessing when you find the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and he's turned you away from every one of your iniquities. Amen. Are you sin free today? Stay that way. It's a good place to be. Then Paul said later on in his epistle to the letter to the church at Ephesians, in chapter 1, verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Wow. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I just feel like a cup this morning. I just, go ahead, Lord. Do it in this service. Do whatever you want to do with us. Hallelujah. So God has blessed you. He's blessed me. We are blessed people. We have many blessings. Amen. Like that old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings. So count your many blessings. Amen. Those are the kinds of songs to, when you get up in the morning, just start singing it. I'm going to today count my blessings, name them one, because we're blessed. You know, I listen a lot these days to K-Love. And anybody ever heard of a group called Wren Collective? Wren Collective is an Irish bunch from Ireland, and they are really neat. We, Betty and I, have seen them at Kingdom Bound a couple of times, and they're just down to earth people. You know, they were in a basement one time, just all sitting around with guitars, and the Irish people have these string things that go down to like a pot, and boom, 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 boom. And they were sitting in this basement, and they were making this music, and somebody said, tape it. And their first CD was the taping of them in their basement. It wasn't in a studio. It wasn't anywhere. It was right in their basement, just boom, 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 just doing all these songs in their basement. And it really took off. But they have come up with so many powerful songs over the years. But one is right now, Counting Every Blessing. I am counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, surely every season you are good to me. Amen. So, I mean, if you get that song, it's a really good one. But I'm sure if we took time this morning and said, let's have some testimonies about the blessings of God, we could be here till next Sunday. Because we are blessed people. Amen? We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. Hallelujah. So we have gifts, we have blessings, And what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We need to understand that there is profitability to serving God. And to know something about profit and benefit and advantages and gain and reward and one day certain recognition from our Lord. Remember, you know the scripture where Jesus talks about how when those people came back with the investments and they doubled their investment, one with five, one with two, but the other guy didn't do anything with his investment, just buried the ground. But he said to those who were coming back with saying, I worked for you, I did for you. And Jesus said in the parable, well done, good and faithful servant, you are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. That's going to be the top of the blessing scale. That will be the cream that kind of goes to the top. Many think that there's no reward or no blessing, nothing profitable by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you heard the way people talk that aren't saved? What's in it for me? And they say, why should I go to church? It's boring. I don't see anything about getting anything out of church, so I don't want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I look at my life from 1973 and Christmas, and over the years, all my blessings that I've got from then till now, when somebody says you don't get blessed in Jesus, I say, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Because I've got blessings, and I've got blessings. One's just sitting right here in the front pew, and she's such a wonderful lady. I just love her so very much. And we have walked through this life together, and we've gone through things together, the ups and the downs and everything else. And I don't know what I would have done sometimes without her beside me and the things that we've gone through. And I tell you, what a blessing it is to have a spouse with you that's in it with you. Amen? To going all that way. So thank God. So when people say that there's nothing in this life, hey, I know far better than to believe a lie like that. Hallelujah. So we have gifts, we have blessings, and many other words that you could denote to us from the Word of God, that God is pouring so many things upon us in our life. Are you blessed today? Amen. Do you love the giftings of God? Do you sense the profitability of what God is doing in our lives? Because I pray you do. And here's this other word that says profit of all. Here we are on Communion Sunday, and I think it's a good idea to talk a little while about profit. It is worthwhile, very profitable in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The world out there gets this word profit. They know what the word profit stands for. Just look at the stock market. People are driven by profit. They want to make money. What's in it for me? Why should I invest my money in this if it's not going to give me any returns? Investors will never invest in something going down. They will invest in something. I heard that this is going to really rise. So they put all their hope and all their money into that. Anybody ever watch Shark Tank or Dragon's Den? Those programs. They're really interesting. I really love that Kevin O'Leary. And he stands there and looks at these people who want money from the dragons or the sharks. And he stands there and he says, all my dollars are little soldiers. And I send out my soldiers. And I want my soldiers to come back with more soldiers. this guy is really, And he says to them, look at, I want to make money, 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 money. Have you ever heard him say that, on the program? I believe the world knows all about profit. But when we come to the Word of God, understand this, when we come to the Word of God, we cannot think like the world. We cannot have the world's standards. But we must overcome every notion and every preconceived idea what a word may mean to us about profit. Sometimes we need to erase those flesh ideas, those carnal ideas, those natural ideas, all those sinful ways, and we need to look at a fresh way into the Word of God. If we could only get into the Word of God and debunk our carnality and our ways of the world and all the things that we got so proficient in, if we could only get to the Word of God and think more Holy Spirit, I think that we would uncover so much more in the Word of God. Do you believe so? Because this idea that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, this is a spiritual sentence, this is a spiritual term, and this is a spiritual direction for us all, is that we're going to be profiting into what God has for us in the Word of God. Now, that word prophet, you know, I think it's always good to get into the Greek if you have a Strong's Concordance, to get into the Greek and look a little bit of the deeper of the word, because this word prophet in the Greek is symphero. It means to bear together. Interesting understanding of this word, isn't it? The prophet of all, to bear together. And it comes from two parts of the word sim, which is a preposition denoting union or with or together, and phero, to bear or carry. So we are with each other in the Holy Spirit, and we're carrying together as a church, as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to profit to all. We're in this together. Amen? It's like in John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your profit, your advantage, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." So it's to our advantage, or it's to our symphero, it's to our profit that Jesus Christ would go away, because then the power of the Holy Spirit would be here, and you and I would, he would be sent to us, and you and I would experience Holy Spirit. You want to experience Holy Spirit? Amen. It's going to be pretty profitable, I tell you. The more we get into Holy Spirit. I like what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. "Furthermore, we have had human fathers," right, "who corrected us." I remember my dad. "And we paid them respect," says the Word of God. "Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they," our fathers, "indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit," or our symphero, "that we may be partakers of his holiness." Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Some of the words of symphero, I went through my Strong's Concordance. I wanted to find some of the different aspects of this word symphero. And it's really interesting, because I went to Matthew chapter 5, and this is a verse that Jesus says, which a lot of people, I think, are kind of, you know, bashful over or don't really understand its full meaning. But Jesus said this: "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Isn't that interesting? We love that verse, don't we? Then he says, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." Then I really like this one. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea." Interesting connotations of that word. You know, to pluck out an eye or to cut off an arm or jump in a sea and because there's a millstone around our neck is not too good for the present. But it would be good if it was the only way to avoid going to hell, is what Jesus is saying to us. You know, if there's something bugging you in your life and you just can't get over it, you better do something about it. And please, I don't believe for a moment that Jesus was telling you to pluck out your eyes or you cut off your hands or anything else. I just believe that he was trying to get across the seriousness of this, that, you know, heaven and hell, like if something's going to take you down, get rid of it. Something's going to take you out, get rid of it. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a pleasant experience, that he died upon the cross for you and I. And remember when Matthew chapter 16, when Peter even suggested, "Not so, Lord, they're not going to do that to you while I'm here. It'll never happen to you. It shall not happen to you." Now we could even say that Jesus had to deal with the dreadful time of the approach of his death and the agony in that Garden of Gethsemane where he poured out his heart and blood, sweat, droplets. But But Calvary, the cross, was for our highest good. Amen. That was more profitable for us. Jesus died for us. Even though it looked bad, even though we say, Jesus, not so, don't do that. It was more profitable for us that Jesus died upon the cross for us. No wonder Jesus said to his disciples, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away I go to the cross. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. For Paul, the spiritual benefit or profit became the standards of all experiences. Now you go through his letters sometimes, and you'll see that he said, to do this, it's better. To do this, it's more profitable. To do this, you'll gain. To do this, it will be a blessing to you. To do this, to walk this way. To understand this, you'll find the great results. And he kept going through all his epistles. Read it sometimes. How he's trying to get us to the place of understanding that don't be carnal. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk those ways. Get over here in the Holy Spirit. Walk in those places and you will find the door opens up, the blessings come down, the gifts are released, and the things that happen in your life will be astounding. Signs, wonders, and miracles begin to happen. The shadow of somebody crossing across, somebody who's sick will all of a sudden rise up and they'll be raised from their sick place of that terrible disease. I'm so glad because when Jesus died upon the cross, he said it's for the highest good. That's why I came. That's why I came to die upon the cross. Jesus was pointing out not just for today, but for every day and for life in the future, that every day you live, you can live with Jesus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Hallelujah. Because of him. Thank God. I like what Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Sorry, Pierre. But from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable for you. How I kept back nothing that was going to gain strength in your life. How I kept back nothing that would get you back up standing strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love the scriptures? I just love them. Hallelujah. Jesus promised us power to be witnesses. What will stand in our way of being a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Our bashfulness, our timidity, our feeling of our inadequacies. Oh, I could never do that. You know, people say that. I said a terrible thing one time to a parishioner in Havelock, and this fellow come up and said to me, we were talking about what God was doing in people's lives, and he said to me, I just don't feel led. And so I told him, I said, well, get the lead out then. Jesus knew we'd be in a battle, didn't he? Jesus knew we'd be in a battle. He knew his church would be faced with all kinds of things thrown against it, but he is building his church and wants church builders alongside of him, and the powerful church builders will find the Holy Spirit will work alongside church builders. Amen? Jesus faced all kinds of things like you and I face. He was tempted in every area, says the Word of God, yet without sin, says the Word. He was in a fight from day one. Did you know that? Yeah. Jesus was in a fight from day one. As Satan took Jesus on, even at the beginning of his ministry, I mean, you just find all kinds of things that were happening in those days that were interesting that Jesus went through. And the Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If Satan would attempt to tempt Jesus, do you think he would attempt to tempt you? If he's trying to bring down our Savior, I think he's going to bring down the Savior's church. If he can. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, so he was in the right place because the Holy Spirit had led him there. Sometimes we get into wildernesses and bad places in our life. If the Holy Spirit leads you there, he's got something that he's doing in your life and my life. Amen. Do you know how Satan cruises around to find people that are doing God's will? He does that, and the devil doesn't bother us much when we're doing nothing. So if you don't like the devil and you don't want him around your house, do nothing. Say nothing. commit nothing, be nothing, act nothing. But when we make up our mind, boy, I'm going to church today and I'm going to sing just like Elvis and I'm going to have a great time in church. We make up our mind that we're going to make a difference in my community. We're going to make a difference in our workplace. We're going to make a difference. We're going to talk to somebody about Jesus. We're going to live a life that's pleasing in His sight, and we're going to do something. And I don't care if it upsets the devil. I don't care if he gets mad, because I'm about my Father's business. So he sets up traps to destroy us through our everyday life and distract us. He tries to damage our testimony and do all kinds of things. And Jesus was prepared for the attack. The Word says. And so you and I can prepare our lives for all the attacks that the enemy throws at us. And the Word says. And we stand upon the Word. And so the church needs to be alive, nothing, thriving, depending on Holy Spirit, being in unity, one accord, one body. And like, I've got that scripture up there for you, because this is the place, because what Paul stated here is really interesting. He said this, the cup of blessing, how many know the cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion with the blood of Jesus Christ? I mean, it's not this cup we're talking about, even though there's the emblem. It's the cup of blessing. That cup's not in communion with the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm in communion with the blood of Jesus Christ. I walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Question. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Question. For we, though many, are one bread and one body. Did you get that? We are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. See, as I looked at this, you know, Paul gives some really good spiritual depth here of the table of remembrance, the Lord's Supper. The believers are sharing in the blood and body of Christ, and they're identifying with Jesus as death on the cross. Back then, you would have taken one loaf of bread together and passed around that one loaf of bread, and somebody would have just torn a chunk off and taken it around, so that you were one in the body of Christ. See, Paul wanted the church at Corinth to know that all who participate in the Lord's Supper represent a unified body, a together body, coming together, the profit of all, that is the dependency on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase, there is one bread, we are many, but we are one body. We are one bread. And you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts talking about the body has all the parts, but we're one bread, one body. We're tied together through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Being together, partaking. We come to the communion table. We're one body, one faith, one Lord. We're together, one accord, carrying each other, praying for each other. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When nothing can happen against the church unless we allow it. We are strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have got the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got the authority of the Master. We've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've got everything that God has given us, blessings, gifts, profit, everything coming our way. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? How many know somebody in your family that ignores Jesus? Amen. I'm happy for you. You got church. Good, I'm glad you go. But they choose to ignore Jesus Christ. They choose to ignore the gift of salvation. They're happy for you. And they think they're happy where they are, but they cannot come to Jesus, and they're happy and content living away from God and living in sin. They ignore the gift of salvation. Amen. Did you know that ignoring is a spirit? It's a spiritual darkness to ignore something. It's a depth of the enemy that will try to close your eyes, stuff your ears, so that you will have more help from the enemy to ignore what is being done around you. When somebody comes into the church and they're not saved, and I begin to preach about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a battle going on in their heart at that moment. The enemy is telling them, ignore it. That preacher up there, he's a liar. You know, he's this, he's that. All the accuser of the brethren, you know. And he starts throwing all these things into the heart of a person so that they will choose to ignore, and they can walk out and they'll say to you, and perhaps they're a family member of yours, they walk out and say, oh, that was a nice service, but... And they choose to ignore. And so I really believe that ignoring is a spiritual darkness that just circles people. In that same ignoring or that ignorance, says Paul in verse 1, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, is a darkness that's keeping the gifts in a place that the Holy Spirit doesn't want them. So that same ignoring or that ignorance, says Paul in verse 1, is that there is a problem with spirituality. And did you know that we could, even though in our days before coming to the cross, we could ignore many things, but finally we broke down, we chose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but we brought that spirit of ignorance with us. Right? You know, I'm glad I'm saved, but I don't know if I believe this. And so we choose to ignore that. It's kind of like it always hangs around, that spirit of ignorance. And we think about the stuff that happens around us, and we choose not to do this. I don't know if the gifts are for today. And so we ignore them. We do ignore this. And we would ignore the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. We could ignore these several gifts, these 9 listed gifts here. We could say, I'm happy in my salvation. I don't need the gifts. And so people ignore them. And that's a sad place to be. Because the more that we ignore the things that God has got for us, the gifts and the blessings and the prophet and all the things that God wants to do in his church, we are the losers from what God wants to do.